I want to thank you for that song. It is the Holy Spirit works in sometimes strange ways. And I'm going to talk about tomorrow today. And thanks for that introduction, Bill. Who holds tomorrow? Now, the brief scripture that was read for you this morning by Phil, the writer there raises that very point, a very, very important reality point. He is saying, in fact, that we don't know what tomorrow is, that tomorrow is unpredictable, that we, in fact, are always moving into a mystery. We're always moving from here, things that are known, into the future that we really don't know. We don't know what's going to happen before this worship service is over. Well, I don't know what's going to happen to me this week. You don't know what's going to happen to you. Now, you have hopes and plans, and you ought to have them. But the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, we do not know what our tomorrows are going to bring to us. And that's the point that James is raising. And he says, you know, I've got some young entrepreneurs in my church. And he begins to speak to those men who were in business. He said, you guys talk about that tomorrow you're going to go to such and such a city and you're going to open up such and such a business and you are going to buy and sell and you are going to make a profit. All of that is good. You know, free enterprise seemed to be at work even in biblical times. But he said, you know something? You ought to have some humility and a little less arrogance and pride about tomorrow's because you don't own tomorrow. You may plan for tomorrow, and all of those things may come true, but on the other hand, they may not happen at all. So he said, when you make your plans, you ought to say, put God in the equation and say, you know, if it's the Lord's will, I will go into that city, and if it's the Lord's will, I will establish a business, if it's the Lord's will, I will make a profit. You see, when we begin to factor God into our tomorrows, and that's what James is talking about here, then we begin to approach the unknown. The only way a Christian can approach the unknown, that is with faith and with trust. That is how we go into our tomorrows. That's how I'm going into my tomorrows. I have, and I'm sure you have, I've lived all of my life with this little equation. It's faith and trust in the Lord for my tomorrows, no matter what those tomorrows are. There's a Presbyterian minister down in Florida by the name of Jack Arnold. He lived in Oviedo, Florida. Pastored a church there for a number of years. 69 years old. And one Sunday he was preaching on the final destiny of all of God's people. And that is the Father's house, what we call heaven. That was his theme and his sermon for that day. And when he got down to the end of that sermon, he was beginning to quote John Wesley. By the way, when you can get a Presbyterian, a Calvinist, to quote a free-minded John Wesley in a Presbyterian church, you've accomplished something. And so he's talking about heaven and how that's where God's people go. That's our destiny. That's the end for us. But just as he was ending that quote, he grabbed a hold of the pulpit and he began to struggle to stand up. And he collapsed on the floor and he died instantly. Now, he did not know when he got up that morning that would be the last message that he... And by the way, this is not prophetic on my part, so don't worry about that. But he did not know that would be the last time he would share with that church congregation a message. He got up and he shaved like he'd done every day of his ministry, and he approached that church with trust and with hope and with faith. But you know something? In that he died instantly there, his faith and trust at that moment took him to the Father's house. And that's how we live, by faith and trust about our tomorrows. There may be beautiful and wonderful things in your tomorrows, and there probably will be. On the other hand, there might be some great sadness and dark valleys, but the only way, is to approach them with faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You see, when we have faith and trust and we live by faith and trust, the very powers of God come to us and empower us to move into the uncertainties of tomorrow, which we all will have. Now, I will share a secret with you. Now I've got your attention. You don't know what I'm going to say. I really don't want to know what my tomorrows are, except my final destination. And I think that is something as known. But I don't want to know what's going to happen tomorrow morning, next week. I don't want to know what I'm going to be thinking driving down the road. I don't want to know all those circumstances, because if I knew all those things, life would be one long, boring, monotonous journey. And I'm glad it's not that way. But I'm glad, on the other hand, in that I don't know, that I can walk in faith and trust with Jesus Christ into my tomorrows. And faith, ladies and gentlemen, is the only way that we can go into our tomorrows. I have a suspicion that even God doesn't want to know everything about tomorrow. I think it might be even a cosmic boredom if he knew everything. Now, the absolute sovereign will of God, that's going to happen. But I think God just threw into the creation mix a free will for human beings. And he might be puzzled about what you're going to do tomorrow. And I can imagine God not wanting a world where he himself knew everything that was going to happen. He knows the boundaries. And his sovereign will, that's going to happen. But oh, there's a whole wide range of freedom that we have as we move into our tomorrows and make these choices. Life in many ways is like a river. When a raindrop falls on a mountaintop, you can rest assured that that raindrop sooner or later is going to find its way to the sea. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what else happens. Sooner or later, that raindrop is going to end where it's destined to go, and that is to a sea level in an ocean somewhere. On your way to D.C., I go through Pennsylvania, and there's a place there, and they have signs up called the Continental Watershed. And the water that's there either has to go east or it can go west. If it goes east, it's going to go into the Atlantic Ocean. If it goes west, it's going to go finally come down south and get into the Ohio River, but eventually it's going to end up out in the ocean somewhere. That's what's going to happen. We know that. And life is like that, ladies and gentlemen. We may know our final destiny, but we do not know what's around the bend, do we? We do not know what our tomorrows will be. That's why we have to travel by trust and faith. Christian people are those people who define their very existence by those who have been led into their tomorrows by faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who he was, what he taught, life, death, and resurrection. We define ourselves as those kind of people. And let me tell you something I've learned in my 81 years and 50 years in the ministry. And my God, when I started out and faced the ministry along with my wife, we had no idea what our tomorrows were really going to be. We had hopes and dreams, but we did not know. But after all these years and after having close contact with a lot of people and a lot of counseling and a lot of challenges and many, many things, I can tell you what I have learned, that the only way forward is faith and trust and hope. It's the way into the heart of God. It's the way into our tomorrows. It's the way out of our confusion. It's the way out of our anxiety. It's the way out of our darkness into light. It only happens if we travel by faith and trust. And when we have boldness and faith and trust, I can tell you the angels draw near to us. And we will not be, I have not been abandoned. That God has always honored faith and trust, even in my failures and even in my successes. It is faith and trust. That's our anchor point as we move through the uncertainties and the blessings of life. It's a powerful thing. The founding fathers of our country, and I have a passionate love for our country, my friends, a deep, abiding love for what we call America. But you know, when 1776, when those founding fathers got together to write the Declaration of Independence, they were rising up against the most powerful nation on earth, and you know the story. They gathered there and they put together probably the most dynamic, transforming document that's ever put on paper, been put on paper. But the interesting thing about that declaration, now the war was near, And they did not know what was going to happen. Concord had already happened. Massacre in Boston had already happened. All of those things had happened. Bunker Hill, that had happened. And here they are putting together a declaration, a reason why they're going to rebel against England. And they decided that we have certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And they enumerated those things. When they got down to the end of the Declaration of Independence, here is what they said. With a firm reliance on the protection of a divine providence. Now, we're talking about faith and trust here in divine providence. We mutually pledged to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That is how this country began, in faith and in trust. And they, Benjamin Franklin said, we either hang together or hang separately. You see, they didn't know. They didn't know, but they were going to have faith and trust. That's not only true of our nation, that's true individually. When we declare, when we decide, it is faith and trust that we move forward on. Abraham of old, 4,000 years before Christ, this founding father of the Hebrew faith, God came to him one day when he was 75 years old. Does me good every time God does something with an older person. Because that means there's still hope for me. 75 years old, and God comes to, his name was Abram at the time, and he comes and he says, what? You are a wealthy cattleman. You have gold and silver, and the Bible affirms that. And here you are in Haran. You're comfortable. You have status. You have influence. You have wealth. Your days are fairly predictable. But you know what, Abram? I am going to call you to a new place. And God begins to paint this wonderful picture of Abram. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm going to change your name to Abraham. You're not going to be exalted father. You're going to be the father of nations. And that's what Abraham means. And he painted, and you're going to have a place that we call the Promised Land. This beautiful picture of this land of milk and honey. And your seed and offsprings are going to be like the sands of the sea. And from you, all nations on earth will be blessed. And even the Messiah will come through your lineage. Now, that's a pretty stunning, a stunning picture that's painted here by God. And how did Abraham respond to that? Well, in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, the writer there is looking back at the heroes of the faith. And this is what he had to say about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which later he would receive, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And how did he do it? By faith. He didn't even know where the final destination was. And we do not know our tomorrows. But in obedience, we move forward in faith and in trust. You know, in our church here that we all are so, well, we're concerned. And we love this church. And the only way forward for us as a church is by faith and by trust. And not to get swallowed up in a fear and intimidated by our tomorrows, but approach them in faith and trust and hope. And we will get through that. And there are people in this congregation that want to move out of Haran, and they want to move up to a higher place in their lives. And this church wants to move to a higher place in its journey. And we're going to do that by faith and trust in God, and faith and trust in each other. So Abraham, he went out by faith. He had a calling. He had a new direction. And he had a promise by the Almighty, I'll be with you. And he obeyed, and he went out. When you have a sense of calling, no matter what that is or where that is, there's great strength that comes in knowing who you are and what you're called to do. And God in Jesus Christ is always calling us to move from where we are to another step up Jacob's ladder. He's always calling us to be more than we are. He's never contented just to let us be and stay in Haran with all that comfort. I'm going to call you out. And so we have a calling. Now, I see that Woody Fitton and his beautiful wife Diane is here this morning. And Woody is a personal friend of mine, as is his entire family. and Woody Fitton had reached a kind of a crossroads in his life, and he would have done just fine and was doing just fine in the financial world. But he began to feel an urge for something else. And he began to think about that, and then began to pray about that, began to talk to other people about that. And one day, across his mind, the thought of the YMCA happened. And he began to meditate and think about that, and talk to people about that, and pray about that. And then he began to feel like, well, maybe that's where God wants me. Maybe that's my calling. And the more he thought about it, the more sure he was of it. He talked to his dad. And then one day, his mother, his beautiful, wonderful mother by the name of Grace, she said to Woody, you got to do what you got to do. And that was a liberation for Woody. And ladies and gentlemen, he is the head of the YMCA. It's his calling. And because he has that calling, he will have strength and foresight and lead him into all the challenges of what it means to be the head of that organization. Direction. It's good to know direction. Now, in that same YMCA, and I've checked out all the notes they have around there where people are on treadmills and weightlifting, which I've been doing and all that sort of thing. Almost passed out one day from doing it. But at the back on the side of that room where they exercise like that, there is a painting. And it shows a beautiful road kind of circling its way up to a beautiful sunset. It's kind of like you're looking into the future. And the inscription on that paper says, without purpose and direction, courage and effort are not enough. You know, you may have all the courage in the world and effort in the world and striving, but you need to have a sense, this is where God is calling me to. This is my direction. And then the obedience. I've been bragging on Tim Tebow. And a lot of people think that if he didn't win that game last night, that somehow discredited his faith. But what you're going to find about this young man and his sense of calling of where he is, he feels like God has him where he is, and he's going to use that platform to share his faith. I like his obedience. He's simply not doing it for show, not trying to draw attention. He's sharing his faith in his life where he is. And there's something about that kind of obedience that brings to us power and strength as we have faith and trust. I want to close today with telling you a little story about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was in his late 50s now. He had been on 3 missionary journeys. And here is a man by faith and obedience and trust and faith changed the course of history. God generally calls an individual, and that individual, others will follow, and they can change history. So Paul now is going up to Jerusalem. He has an offering that he's received from the churches that he established, and he wants to take that offering to Jerusalem. And he's being worried. He's making his way down the coast of Greece, and he's worried. He's been warned, you don't go up to Jerusalem, because there's danger up there and suffering up there. And even the Holy Spirit told Paul directly, there will be suffering in Jerusalem. And the elders from Ephesus, they come down and join him at Miletus. And say, Paul, please don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go. And Paul talked to them. And they knelt and they prayed and they hugged and they kissed Paul. And Paul said, I'm never going to see you again. You know, how's that for looking at the future? I'm not going to see you again. They stood on a dock and they waved and watched him sail into the Mediterranean. But this is what Paul said to them before he departed. In obedience to the Holy Spirit, I must go up to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me there. That's the way we face our tomorrows. With faith and hope and trust, we move into the unknown. And look what God did with the Apostle Paul. And at any level, that's what he can do with any of us as we have faith and trust. Heavenly Father, increase our faith and trust. Help us not to be timid, but to be bold in our faith and bold in our obedience. and bold in a sense of direction in our calling, and to live that out with grace and power, and leave the results in your hands. In the name of your Son, amen and amen.